Hello. And welcome back to CoronaCast. It's great to be back.
Yeah, I'm Tilly.
And I'm Hannah Harris, and Tilly's my daughter, and this is our podcast, CoronaCast, which is about all things coronavirus, which we started in March, I think it was, at the very beginning of all this. We did quite a few episodes until the summer, and we've had a really, really long break for various reasons, and now we're back, and it's great to be back.
Yeah, it's so nice to be doing this again. I kind of can't believe we are doing it. Like, we started this in March, it's now the end of 2020, and this is still such a big thing. It's insane.
Yeah, coronavirus has definitely not gone away like we were hoping. No. In fact, it's back with a vengeance at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's quite a scary time, but there are hopeful things coming out, so we'll see, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all things vaccination today. So, yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about the hopeful things.
Yeah, Mum did do a Q&A about this with our friend Nagar, who runs the interior design Instagram account Negi at Home. But we thought we'd do one for our listeners as well, because it's such a hot topic at the moment. And I think it's really important to talk about it.
Yeah, it's important to talk about it sort of openly and in detail so that people understand exactly what the vaccine's doing and why it's so important.
Yeah, completely. But yeah, we've had our long break. I think everyone needed a bit of a break from talking about it in the summer, especially when things started to open up a little bit.
Yeah, we all needed a break to just go and have a bit of a good time. And actually, the summer was really good, wasn't it? Everyone had a lot of fun despite restrictions.
Yeah, and like things opened a bit more and people were able to... There were really loving moments of people seeing each other again.
Yeah, and virus numbers did really drop. Yeah.
So it was just nice to not talk about it for a bit. And then I moved away from home.
Yeah, Tilly got a place at the Lear, which is Dublin's drama school, part of Trinity College Dublin. It's where she was doing her foundation course last year. And she's back there on their 3-year degree course in acting, so it's really, really exciting. I am obviously missing her terribly.
Yeah, it's been a kind of whirlwind time. I moved here in October, so it's been difficult to make episodes even more because we've been not in the same place anymore, and we've got actually had stuff to do. I've got had uni to go to.
Yeah, and Tilly's actually had to go back early to get back in time to quarantine and do a test and things before the new term starts in January. So we're even recording this remotely.
We are recording overseas. We'll try it out. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Hopefully this means we can do more like this.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then I've been really, really busy at work. General practice has definitely hotted up, having got very, very quiet at the beginning of the coronavirus outbreak because people were kind of staying away, and I think they thought GP practices were shut initially as well. It's now really, really busy. It's kind of the backlog is coming through, and obviously we'll talk, I'm sure, in the future more about the mental health issues that have been raised by coronavirus this year and being in a pandemic, and we've seen a lot of that in general practice.
Yeah. So we've had our break for all these various reasons, but we're very happy to be back. And we just wanted to say thank you so much for all the messages and like the messages, emails we've received from listeners who are wondering where we are and want to hear more. That was really touching and really lovely.
Yeah, asking if we're okay. We definitely are okay. And thank you very much for following us.
Yeah, it's really, really lovely to see and hear.
Yes. And we've just had a lovely Christmas together. It was all too brief, but it was so lovely having Tilly back from Dublin. And we had so much fun together.
Yeah, we were so, so lucky to be able to spend it together. And we were going to spend it with some more family, but then obviously Tier 4 happened. So it just ended up being me and Mum. But we had a lovely time. And I think I kind of saw across the board with a lot of people I know anyway, that lots of people had a good Christmas despite everything. And we're all so grateful for what we can get at the moment, which is something positive to come out of it, I guess.
Yeah, 2020 has certainly taught people kind of gratitude for the small things. And just being healthy and being with people you love is is huge right
so
now.
So big.
And we shouldn't take it for granted.
We definitely shouldn't. And even, like, you know, having a roof over your head and, like, having shelter and having food in your belly, all those kinds of things, like, still being able to enjoy things despite what's going on feels really nice. And I really, really hope that that kind of appreciation carries through after this pandemic, and and we're all happier and more grateful, hopefully.
Absolutely. More kindness.
Exactly.
So
let's get down to the Q&A.
Woo. So yeah, I'm going to be grilled by Tilly today.
Yep, I'm going to ask her kind of questions that I would want to know, but also the kind of common ones. Just want to, like, chat about it, inform a bit more on the vaccines. Well, the vaccines now. So yeah, Let's get into it.
First, my disclaimer. So I'm a GP. I'm not a public health or infectious diseases expert. Opinions expressed are my own and not on behalf of an organisation. Although I have had specific training about the vaccines, including the Pfizer vaccine, and will soon be trained specifically on the Oxford vaccine, I would think, because that's about to be rolled out with any luck. So there we are.
Cool. Okay. So I think maybe it would be good to just start with talking a bit about the vaccine. So just tell us a bit about it, the Pfizer vaccine, because that's the one that's being rolled out at the moment, the first one that's been approved. So just, can you give us a bit about how it works, the time frame in which you need to have it, like how many times you need to have it, and how far those doses are spaced out, how it's given out?
Yeah, sure. So there are three vaccines that are really kind of in the mix in terms of the ones that are going to be rolled out around the world. There's the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, which is the one that's been made in the UK that we've heard a lot about in the UK, but that hasn't quite been approved yet, but hopefully this week. There's the Pfizer vaccine, which is the one about 500,000 doses have already been given in the UK. And I've actually had my first dose a couple of weeks ago and I'm completely fine. Just had a bit of a sore arm the next day. And then the other one is the Moderna vaccine, which I'm not sure when that's going to be approved, but it hasn't been approved quite yet in this country. So the Pfizer vaccine, which is the one we're currently giving, you have to give the two doses and they're about 3 weeks apart. And the way it works is that it injects a bit of the sort of genetic code for part of the virus. So the body's cells then generate the part of the virus which it encodes is the spike protein, which is why it's called, you know, the coronavirus with the crown, the spikes that stick out of the viral cells. It encodes that spike protein. So the vaccine makes the body's cells show that spike protein, and then the immune system kicks in. Antibodies are made to target that spike protein, so that if somebody is then infected with the virus, the body will have those antibodies ready to go to get on top of the virus, so that the person doesn't suffer it. They get better very quickly, rather than getting the horrible coronavirus disease which we're hearing about.
Cool.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And how is it given out? Like, how are they rolling it out? What's the criteria on that?
So there are 9 levels of priority which have been specified. So from level 1, which is people in care homes, because they were found to be real, you know, hot houses for the virus in the first wave, because people in care homes are all living in very close proximity to each other, and they tend to be people who are very vulnerable to the virus. So care homes and care home staff at level 1. And then level 2 is health and social care workers and people over 80. So it's mainly people at level 1 and 2 who have been vaccinated so far. And then essentially it goes down in age. So after the people over 80, then it's people over 75, then it's people over 70. At level 6 is people who were sort of on the shielding group from younger age groups. So people aged 16 to 64 who are vulnerable in whatever way, they're at level 6. And then at level 9 is sort of everybody else. So it's being rolled out gradually across all those groups. Those groups will obviously overlap because it's really important not to waste doses. So there will be overlapping, but that's the general sort of direction of travel, as it were.
Do you mean waste doses of the vaccine? Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to waste doses because this Pfizer vaccine can only survive outside a deep freeze for 5 days. So if you've had it for out of, because it has to be stored at minus 70 degrees usually. Wow. And you get it out and put it into a normal fridge, but it can only survive in a normal fridge for 5 days. So you have to use up all those vaccines within 5 days, otherwise you have to throw them away.
So we've got the Pfizer vaccine. Now, what's the happening with the Oxford vaccine in terms of where it's at in its trial stages and how far it's been from approved, and also kind of what it means for us if we've got two vaccines on the go?
Okay. Ooh, big questions, Tills. Okay, so the Oxford vaccine is due to be approved literally in the next couple of days by the MHRA, which is the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Authority, which is the sort of medicines regulator in this country. So it has that's the organisation that approves all medicines, all vaccines for use in the UK. They are due to approve the Oxford vaccine in the next couple of days. And the exciting thing about the Oxford vaccine is that it is a lot cheaper than the other vaccines. So the government has already bought 100 million doses of it in readiness for it being
so kind
approved.
Of pre-ordered.
Yeah. So that's enough, because every person needs two doses. That's enough to vaccinate 50 million people, which is more than three quarters of the people in this country. And several million of those doses are ready to go as soon as we get approval. So at that point, we're going to start vaccinating people at a lot more of a large scale. So football stadiums and big venues are going to be used for a mass vaccination program. They've been recruiting lots of medical students and other people who can potentially, even though they're not qualified doctors or whatever, they can be trained to give vaccines. Even non-medical people are being trained to give vaccines so that it can be rolled out. It will, of course, always be supervised by medics, just to say that. But yes, so they're hoping to start vaccinating at least 1 million people a week from January.
Wow.
Which means that very quickly, apparently there are about 20 million vulnerable people in this country. So there are 20 million people who really need the vaccine. That's a third of the country, actually. And with this much larger scale rollout, with the Oxford vaccine, we should be able to get everyone vaccinated in that group by the end of March, and everybody else by the summer.
Wow, that's so good, isn't it? Do you know if we'll continue to use the Pfizer as well as the Oxford?
Yeah, because we've bought a certain number of doses of the Pfizer vaccine. I don't exactly know the numbers, I'm afraid, for that, but the numbers are a lot smaller. And also the other thing about the Oxford vaccine is the reason why we're so excited about it is because it's much easier to store. So it doesn't need to be stored at these really, really cold temperatures most of the time. It can last for a long, long time in a normal refrigerator. So that means that it's much easier to roll out to care homes or to take to people's houses, you know, by district nurses or whatever. It's just much more portable.
Much easier. Easy
to distribute. Yeah. So it means that it's much easier to vaccinate all of these people. It's much more practical.
Cool.
So that is why it's really exciting. In the next couple of days, this is a game changer, basically.
Light at the end of the tunnel. Here's a question for you. Do you think there will be an opportunity for the rules to relax and loosen up a bit once the vulnerable people have been vaccinated?
That is really hard to say at the moment, because the thing we don't know about the vaccine. So the vaccine has passed all of the safety checks that a vaccine would usually pass. I know there's this worry about it being rushed through, but it has passed all of the safety checks. And I can tell you why it has been managed to be developed so quickly in a bit, if you want.
Yeah.
But what we don't know about is how long immunity, because this is a longer term monitoring side of it, which we won't know until several more months have passed. We don't know how long immunity lasts once you've had the vaccine. We know that if people have had the virus, their antibody levels start to drop off after about 3 months. But we don't know how long it takes with the vaccine. It might be 6 months. It might last for 6 months. It might last for a year. It might last lifelong. But we are probably likely to need boosters, a bit like the flu vaccine you have to have once a year. Well, it's more likely to be something like that, I think. But we don't know yet. So we don't want to say to everybody, you're fine to all go out and start mixing as soon as, you know, the vulnerable people are vaccinated, because it's not quite as simple as that. The other thing that we don't know is whether you can spread the virus asymptomatically, even though you've had the vaccine. So you can still kind of be a spreader. Mm. Even if you've been vaccinated. Again, that's another thing that time will now tell. Now it's being rolled out and we just have to wait for the months to go by to sort of finish the studies and see about those things. But just to reiterate, it doesn't mean the vaccine isn't safe. The safety checks have been done, but it's just the longer term view is what we have to wait for.
Yeah, and we have to tread carefully because, you know, we can't just, I mean, it's so tempting to be like, everyone's been vaccinated, go back to normal. But we have to tread carefully because, as we know, this virus does unpredictable things.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very unpredictable virus.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned it there, but with both, with all the vaccines, there obviously is like a worry about whether it's safe, whether it's been rushed, because, like, you know, the only way that we all knew the only way to really get past this was a vaccine. And it's, you know, it's convenient for it to have popped up. I'm very pro vaccines myself, but even I had a little bit of a worry about it just because I was like, oh, like, has it been rushed? Is it too soon? You know, so what can you say about that to reassure people? Because I think that's a really important point.
So, yes, I know there's a lot of worry about whether the vaccine has been rushed through, and I would like to reassure people that it hasn't. So there are always several stages of a vaccination trial, and essentially you start by giving it to a very, very small number of people and see if it has any adverse effects. And then you give it to increasing numbers of people to check its safety and check its efficacy. Those are the main things that you're checking in the first few stages of the vaccine, and like what the dosing should be for maximal effectiveness. And this vaccine has been shown to be safe and effective in these trials. For example, the Pfizer vaccine has been trialed on 44,000 people in 6 different countries, and it was a randomised trial, so it had a placebo. So 22,000 people were given the vaccine, 22,000 were given a placebo that wasn't the vaccine, and then the two groups were compared, and it was found to be safe and effective. So those safety checks have been done. The reason why it was so fast is because the technologies for giving the vaccine already existed. They just needed to find a way of using the coronavirus sort of genetic material in order to spark an immune response. But the vaccine technologies were already there. And sort of ironically, in a way, when you have a pandemic, you can actually develop a vaccine more quickly because you have so many people who have the virus that you can very quickly tell whether a vaccine is working or not, whether there's a difference between the groups of people who've had the vaccine and the group of people who didn't have the vaccine, because the virus is running through society. So it's actually quicker to see whether it works. And also, in a pandemic, you get more people volunteering to take part in the vaccine trial. So then you get your numbers of people up, because the things that really slow the trials down are going from one stage to another. There's a lot of administration you have to do. You have to apply for funding from organisations or governments, drug companies, in order to progress to the next stage of the vaccine development. But in this case, the funding was ready and there because the world wanted a vaccine. So you didn't have to stop and apply at each stage or stop and try and recruit volunteers to take part. All of those things were there very quickly, just because it's a pandemic. And so that is why they've been able to develop these vaccines so fast. And it's actually a brilliant thing that this has happened. And, you know, big hats off and respect to the vaccination community for doing this.
They've just kind of saved the world, haven't they?
Yeah, and it's not in their interest to develop a vaccine that's not safe or that might make people get very, very ill, because, you know, there's a lot of bad press for vaccines already. You definitely don't want to bring out any vaccines that might harm people. So it's actually a very, very safe process.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really good to know, because I think there was a lot of kind of stress about it. But it sounds, also, would you say it was a type of thing of like, I don't know, I just had this theory myself, but of like, because like with usual vaccine technology and working on vaccines, there's a lot being worked on at the same time. Whereas with coronavirus, kind of everyone sort of put their efforts into one vaccine. Naturally, that would speed up the process, I guess, if everyone's like working on this one.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Tilda. That's the other thing. Like, so if everyone has stopped everything else and just focused on producing a vaccine against coronavirus, so there was loads of manpower behind it as well. And it also meant you could overlap those phases that I was talking about of a vaccine trial. You didn't need to even do one at a time. You could sort of overlap them.
Cool. That makes sense then.
Yeah, good. I'm glad, because that's a really important point to make to people.
That like it's safe and you should just go and get it.
And it hasn't been rushed.
Yeah, completely.
Or even if it has been rushed, it hasn't compromised safety.
Yeah. Okay, so on to some other questions now. If you've had coronavirus before, will you need to get the vaccine?
In a word, yes. People who had the virus are recommended to have the vaccine, because, like I said, we don't know how long you will have immunity for after you've had the virus, and the vaccine may give you longer term immunity. It's just not thought to be harmful to have had the virus and then to have the vaccine, because the vaccine doesn't make you sick. The advice is to wait for 4 weeks from when you have the virus. So when the symptoms start or when you have a positive test, wait for 4 weeks before you then have the vaccine.
And what is the vibe with like allergies and stuff? If you've had a bad reaction to a vaccine previously, like an allergic reaction, to like medicines or a vaccine previously, what's the advice on that with the coronavirus vaccine?
As you've probably heard on the news, in the press, there were a couple of patients, nurses at a hospital, who had the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine and then had an anaphylactic reaction. Anaphylaxis is where the airways swell up and people get fluid on their lungs. But these were people who'd had an anaphylactic reaction before, I understand. So since that happened, some further safety advice has been given, which is that if people have ever had an anaphylactic reaction before to a medicine or a food or a vaccine, or they have a known allergy to components in this vaccine, then they shouldn't have the vaccine. And the list of components is available. And those people, realistically, are probably going to have to wait until there's herd immunity, which means that you need 70 to 75% of the population to have had the vaccine. And then the people who haven't had the vaccine should be protected, because so many other people are. So yes, but people who've had sort of allergies in terms of just getting a rash to penicillin, for example, that isn't an anaphylactic reaction. So the advice would be to have the vaccine. But people can always check with their GPs or healthcare providers. GPs can always ask the vaccine companies their advice.
Yeah.
If necessary.
Perfect. Okay, cool. By the way, I just want to reiterate, when I said bad reaction, I didn't mean like bad reaction to a vaccine. I meant a literal allergic reaction to a vaccine. Okay. Let's talk a bit about these new strains that have reared their ugly heads of coronavirus. So I think there's two now, is there? There's the one that developed in the UK that's a lot more, so far seems to be spread a lot quicker and easier, but not necessarily is any more kind of deadly than the original virus. And then there's the South Africa one, which I don't know too much about, the one that developed in South Africa. So with these new strains that have come along, will the vaccine still work? to protect against them.
So the advice that we're getting is that, yes, it's looking like the vaccines are effective against these new strains. They have mutated these new strains, but they still have fundamental common elements, which mean that the vaccines will work. That's cool. That's apparently the word that the studies are ongoing, I believe, to make sure this is the case. But results so far are showing that, yes, this vaccine will still be, or these vaccines will still be effective against these mutations, which is great. Which Good. Is another reason why I think it's so important to just get as many people vaccinated as soon as humanly possible, because we want to stop this virus mutating. And the way to stop it doing that is to stop people getting it.
Getting it, get people immune to it so it can't survive.
Stamp it out, yeah.
Yes, got to stamp it out. So yeah, get your vaccines. right, let's chat about a bit more about potential long-term vaccine issues. That this is kind of a worry with vaccines across the board, not just this one. But kind of with this one, do we know anything about potential long-term issues there might be with the vaccine?
Potential long-term issues. So that is obviously something that's being monitored very closely, because, like I said, time will tell in some senses. But we do have a good long-term view with vaccines, in that vaccines are being given to millions of people across the world all the time, every day. We've got the huge successful childhood immunization program in this country that mean that loads of children are immune to getting diseases like measles, mumps, rubella, and many others, whooping cough. And so we know the long-term effects of those vaccinations, because the majority of children in this country have been having those vaccinations for years. And we don't know of any long-term severe effects that would make us not want people to have a vaccine. So I can see why people might be worried about sort of the long-term effects that we don't know about. But this vaccine doesn't work totally differently to the way other vaccines work. So there's no reason to suggest that it would have long-term effects that we can't predict.
Yeah, and it's passed all the safety protocols. So it's as safe as any other.
Yeah.
So that's good.
The effects, generally, the effects of a vaccine you would see very soon after it's given. It's not likely to have effects kind of years and years down the line, because of the way vaccines work. They stimulate an immune response, and then your body is just ready to attack this disease if you get it. It's not like it's having the actual vaccine particles that are injected, they've broken down.
Cool. Effectively. And you briefly mentioned this earlier, but will we kind of need to have a booster every year, like the flu vaccine?
That's what we don't know yet.
Okay.
That's what we don't know yet. How long immunity lasts, we need to wait and see. It's likely that we might need some kind of booster, but we don't know how often yet.
Cool.
And that's why we don't ever want everybody to go out partying as soon as they've had the vaccine, because we really need to watch and wait and see what happens first. Yeah.
Be careful. Cool. Well, that was really, really, really helpful. Thank you, Mum. I learned plenty of things there that I didn't know before.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, I hope our listeners did as well.
I think it's a really important chat to have, just to make people feel more at ease with it. And also, this vaccine is our beacon of hope now, you know? And
it's really exciting to think that we might be able to get back to normal business in some sense by the summer is really exciting, and that we won't have all of these people, you know, people being who really we love sick, potentially getting unwell, being able to see our families again.
Yeah. And also just this general cloud of coronavirus, like, even like, you know, I'm lucky enough to be a healthy young person who hopefully, touch wood, wouldn't get it that badly, but there's just this constant cloud of, like, I don't know, paranoia of like, oh, I did this. Oh, like, I'm not feeling, I feel a bit weird. Like, have I got it? Like, I've seen this person. Oh my God. Like, you always, this bloody virus is always on your mind.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's where we're getting this big mental health crisis coming from. It's really, really stressful. People are sleeping really badly. Loads of people are finding it difficult to sleep because there's this underlying stress in all our lives at the moment.
Yeah,
I want to talk more about sleep actually in another episode.
Yeah, that would be good.
If our listeners have any questions, then please feel free to message us on our social meds channels. So at the CoronaCast on Insta and Twitter.
Or you can email us at questions@coronacast.co.uk and we will try and answer them for you as best we can. Well, mum will. Yes. I'm not the medical expert in this situation. but yeah.
You sounded pretty intelligent with your questions, though, I have to say.
Thanks. Just, you know, what springs to mind. But
well done, babes.
Thank you so much for listening. This has actually been really, really nice to do again.
It really is. It's so nice. Even though we're not together, it's like it's lovely to be having a little chat together, even if it's about this.
Yeah, and collaborate. Overseas.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
totally. Now we just have to finish with our positive news.
Oh yeah, oh my god, positive news. I haven't done this in so long. Okay, my positive news would probably be just kind of how lucky I feel for how much my life has changed and I want to say improved since the lockdown. I am so lucky that I got a place at drama school at all. I moved to Dublin. I now live with people who I met last year who I can really call my best friends. I have met absolutely amazing people out here. I've been allowed to go into college every day and do my work, like do my classes in person because acting is obviously such a practical course. We've been classes essential. We've had to follow strict social distancing rules and there's lots of kind of practices in place to keep us safe. But I've been able to go in and do classes in person. I've just had the most amazing time moving out here and doing something I love every day and being surrounded by amazing people. So I am feeling very lucky and very, very happy about that.
Oh, that is so great. And it's so great to see you so happy doing what you love.
Thanks.
It's like that's what every mum wants for their little girl. And then my positive news is that I'm just really glad we've passed the 21st of December and the days are getting longer and lighter and there's hope that spring and summer are on their way. I get quite sad in the winter dark months, so I'm really excited about that. And also about this vaccine, I have to say, if this Oxford vaccine gets approved in the next couple of days and we can get vulnerable people vaccinated by the end of March, I think that is going to be amazing. And
a huge turning point.
Yeah, full of hope for that.
Cool. Also, I want to say to our listeners that if you don't have any questions or comments, but you want to send us some positive news, some happy coronavirus lockdown stories, please, please do, because we would absolutely love to hear them. We need to spread the positivity as much as possible.
Yeah, that is a great idea, Tills.
Yeah, we would absolutely love to hear from you about that as well, because
please do get in touch. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. We've had such a lovely time. I hope this is useful for you.
Yes, thank you everyone. It's been great to talk to you again.
Yep, lots of love and stay safe.
Yes, stay safe, be kind. Bye.